Everything is better on a boat, and your vacation is no exception. This year, experience the world's most beautiful destinations aboard your own private yacht charter with The Moorings. Our fleet of modern, custom-designed yachts is just one reason we were recently voted Best Caribbean Yacht Charter Company by readers of Caribbean Journal. So when you next explore the Virgin Islands, the Bahamas, or elsewhere, don't accept anything less than The Moorings. Your vacation time is precious, so make the most of your freedom on the water. Book your perfect charter at moorings.com. Nothing less than The Moorings.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up? Welcome back to another edition of the Mandatory Live. Back-to-back shows this week. Lots to get into. Remember, if you like the content, make sure to hit that like and subscribe button. Also, follow us on our social media channels. We're at the Mandatory TKO. And if you listen to us on the audio side, or if you don't, that's where you can find us. Wherever you find your shows, podcasts, we're on there as well. So make sure to subscribe to us. And if you have a couple minutes, which you might, leave a rate and reviews. Give us a 5-star. That will help the channel grow as well. Thanks to everyone that is rocking out with us already. And if you're on the live right now, remember, this is an interactive show, so we want to see your comments. We will read them out. And if you're watching this later, we will get to your comments as well. We might not always respond to them, but we're trying to be better with that. Brian, really busy day for you because you were at the Fatal Fury,
yeah, named after a video game title. Not one that is my genre of choice, but yes, it exists.
Yeah, so if you didn't hear yet, and I'm sure you did if you're a boxing fan, but if you didn't, this will be an event that will take place in Times Square, one of the busiest places in North America or in the world. Anyways, this event, this boxing event, is going to take place in Times Square in New York City, and the card is absolutely stacked. We're going to start off a little bit with the undercard, which is a little bit wild, because Teofimo Lopez is slated as like the third fight on this. Going up, which I think is crazy, but nonetheless, that's how stacked the card is. He will be taking on Arnold Barboza Jr., who obviously just beat Jack Catterall in Jack Catterall's backyard. This is going to be a solid fight. Lots of back and forth between these guys, and we will talk to Brian about that because he was at the press conference. And the second fight, Devin Haney back in the ring after a layoff after that Ryan Garcia fight, where, you know, it was found that Ryan Garcia took PEDs, but I think we all saw it. Haney got knocked on his butt a few times in that fight. We don't know how that chin looks after that. He'll be taking off former champion Jose Ramirez. And I believe that's going to be at 140 pounds, right? I know Haney was saying he was going to move up, but this is going to be at 140, is it?
It seems like it might be at welterweight, actually. So,
okay, because...
And I'm not mistaken, Roldy Romero and Ryan Garcia basically said that their fight is at welterweight and also for a vacant WBA regular welterweight title.
How is Rolly up for another title?
How is Ryan Garcia up for one after what we just saw? Like, I just, you know?
Boxing.
The sport is stupid, but we love it. So we continue to watch it and we continue to talk about it. But it's very stupid. I am PK13. We're going to go to you right away because I have so many questions as it pertains to this event. But Douglas Fisher, editor-in-chief of Ring Magazine, says that they're working on it and they'll eventually find out the answers, which 2 months in advance, you know, we'll see. But IMPK says, for people who are listening on the audio side later, and thank you to you as well, I can only imagine how much it costs to rent out Times Square. My guy, oh my goodness. I have no idea how they're going to pull this event off. And I don't know how, more importantly, they're going to make it safe for everybody. I think we could talk about that real quick before we get into the fights. My questions as it pertains to this event, which they say will be answered, but I don't know. I've thought about hitting up some people in like sort of the local, just people who would work around that area and see like, all right, what are the actual plans for staging this event? Not even to the point of how much money is involved, although that would be useful to know, but how are they going to shut down Times Square, have this free to the public in Times Square of all places? And then people will say, oh, but they do this every year with New Year's Eve with the ball drop. And I'm like, yeah, that's fucking chaotic every single year. And less people go to it now because most people want to, you know, party with their real friends and family or whatever, not go to see a fucking ball drop at Times Square. Like, it's not even a vibe like that. So it's just weird. And then I also wonder, like, that's a touristy thing. If you come to New York for New Year's Eve, that's a touristy thing. Like, people from New York don't go to Times Square. They try to avoid it at all costs. And, like, it's weird. Like, so I wonder how they're going to do this. And then also from a media standpoint, which people won't care as much about this part, but if you will indulge me briefly, if you're in the media, is there going to be a workspace? How close are you going to be to fans who are there for free? Is your shit going to be safe? Are you going to have Wi-Fi because you're going to have a laptop outdoors? Like, these are very practical things that but you know, Turk and them dudes want to do different shit. So they're going to try fighting at Times Square. There's been rumors about Alcatraz and all these different things. We'll see. But I mean, look, I'm curious to see how this turns out. I have a lot of questions.
If they get it done in Times Square, I'm pretty sure they're going to try Alcatraz. I know Teofimo Lopez was rumored to fight there. And let me tell you, Alcatraz is cold as hell. Like, I went there and I wanted to get right back off the island. All right. It was just too cold. And like, that's just how it is in San Francisco. Like, if you're in Oakland, it's not cold. If you're in San Fran, it's cold. But that's not the point. This is about New York. I just feel like I don't understand how it's going to be free for the public. Like, I feel like that ruins it. This is such a dope card. And not to say that it shouldn't be free, but it's like chaotic. Because I know when I went to Times Square, I went there. I saw it one time and I never wanted to go back. But only because it was like giving me social anxiety in the sense that like there's so many people bumping into you. And I'm just like not with that. Yes. And I hated it. And I saw, but like I wanted to see it because I'm not from New York. So I wanted to be like, yeah, I went to Times Square. Whatever, right? And I never wanted to like be in Times Square ever again because it was madness. Now imagine you're putting on one of the biggest boxing cards ever and you put it in Times Square and you do think about safety. I think it's a cool event in the sense that it is going to be free for a bunch of people. That's a tourist spot. It's never been done before. It is kind of exciting. It's different. And I do think boxing does need that aspect of it, Brian. So I believe there are pros and cons to it. Look, like just playing devil's advocate. But I'm very curious as to how they're going to put it all together. But maybe that's the excitement of it. Like maybe that's the excitement of it because it is really cool. It's never been done before. So I'm kind of going with the half glass full type deal right now because I think it is interesting. And I'm very curious to know how they're going to do it. And even for you, because I know you're probably going to try to go as media.
So, I need some safety measures if that's going to be the case.
Yeah, I mean? I'm guessing it's going to be crazy security, like crazy security.
Times Square sucks. Like, I just be honest, it's just somebody who's here. Like, I again, if you try to avoid it at all costs, you could imagine. This is the first time I've been to Times Square since the last time I had to go for another boxing press conference. Like, this is not an area I try to be at. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
It's touristy. Actually, last time I probably went through that area was when I came back from a trip, because, you know, going through Port Authority and whatever. Like, these are places that you try to avoid. So we'll see. A nerd friend of the show says, I'm overthinking it. Just go with the flow. You might be right. I overthink some things. But the going with the flow piece of it, see, this is where I have my concern, because sometimes you go with the flow and you don't like where that flow takes you. So
let me tell you guys something. It's not even that, Brian, you're not a go with the flow type of guy. I've known you for a few years now. You are not go with the flow. You depends. Like stuff to be organized and concise. Like well, you depends. Like to know. You like to know everything. Like I can't tell you. I can't answer a question to Brian that's like, because you're such a New Yorker. You know, I think that's like very West East Coast mentality. Like you'll ask me a question and I won't know the answers. And I'll be like, we'll figure it out later. And like, he hates that. But he's not a like go with the flow type of, I've said that to you before. And you're like, well, we need to know now. Like, no, like what time? Like, you know, I don't have answers all the time. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I think it's exciting. Drop your comments. Let us know what you think about this card being in Times Square, if it's something you might want to attend. It's going to be free, but also it's like, what if you actually want to see this fight and it's a dope card and it's free? Like, don't you want to pay for seating? Is there going to be people that can pay for seating for this? What if it rains?
These are questions that I have. Like, is this a rain, sleet, or whatever event, shine, or whatever the term is? Like, look at this. We're gonna do screen share.
It has right to away. They're probably gonna put a tent over, because like there's been boxing fights where it's outside. They do it all the time in Cali, like, you know what I mean, at a StubHub Center and stuff like that. They've been able to do it.
Look at this tweet. This is from Teofimo Lopez running up the stairs. I want to give y'all an idea of like this. So this is Times Square right here. You're looking at it right here. Let me break this off, actually. Let me know if you can still see this, but this is Times Square right here. And Teofimo Lopez, he ran up the steps, the famous steps at Times Square. And look at this. Nobody is acknowledging him, like, at all. Like, everyone's just kind of like, who the hell is this guy? What is he doing? Whatever the case may be. And he's just doing the whole Rocky shit, going up the steps or whatever. I mean, look, man. This is where the fight is probably presumably going to be. And they'll probably be like showing it in the big screens and things like that. Like, it might be pretty cool, but I don't know. We'll see. There's a lot. There's just a lot there. And also just Teofimo Lopez. We talked about this yesterday. Yeah. See, Steven, I'm in New York. I'm in New York also. I don't want to go to Times Square. Never. There's going to have to be a shit ton of security. And on top of that, I do wonder, like, all right, people are going to be walking by and the idea is that they just, you know, they watch the event or whatever. There will be boxing fans there because New York obviously has a great boxing community. But there are going to be a lot of people in Times Square specifically who are like, who the fuck are these people? And I wonder if they're going to be like, oh, this is something going on. It's cool. I'll film it, whatever, whatever. Like, I think that's what they're hoping for. That may work. But the vast majority of people are like they might not give a shit. I think you can draw a good crowd, though. I just don't know what that's going to look like under these circumstances.
I just think if I was someone that really wanted to go to this bout, and I think it's like pretty dope, like I would be interested, you know, I would want to pay for seating. Like, I wouldn't want to be in the free zone. Like, is it going to all be free? Like, I want seats. I want a good view. You know, like, you know what madness is? It's like madness if something's free for a big event. You know what I mean? And maybe
Unless they do it like the way, like, you know how sometimes you go to daytime TV shows. So mm-hmm. like, for example, like as like if you go to like the Kelly Clarkson show, for example, you have to sign up for free tickets.
Yeah.
And then you get your acceptance or whatever. And then it's first come, first serve. Same thing with like Seth Meyers, the same thing with like all these different daytime shows or whatever. I don't think they're going to do it like that, but
they should.
Maybe
it should be a little bit like
organized.
Yes. That's the only thing I'm looking for, a little bit organized, because I think it's such a cool event, but I do like, I think it's cool too for the fans for it to be free, but you know, sometimes I don't know, like free stuff is cool, but sometimes I'd rather pay for something for like legit seating. You know what I mean? Like, maybe I'm old, but I don't know. But
IMPK13 says, honestly, like, Keep dropping comments, because I kind of feel like we should just write out comments all episode. Especially since it's our second one this week and not a post fight live. IMPK13, Jessica McCaskill versus Cecilia Bracus was fought outside downtown Tulsa, Oklahoma. It can be done. Very different than Times Square.
Well, I think it can be done. It's just the logistics.
I'm not saying it can't be done. It's just like, how is it going to be done? Needs clarity. They'll eventually get there. Like, we'll give them some form of grace. But like, there needs to be a lot of questions answered, because this is one of the busiest places in the world. Downtown Tulsa is not. You know, and we ultimately need to find out if today is any indication of how organized this may be. Today was not very organized in terms of the press conference aspect of it.
Well, so let's get to that, Brian, because you were there at the press conference. And, you know, we got some good stuff from the press conference because Brian was there. Your thoughts on the vibe and the view, and what was the most exciting thing that happened at the press conference? Tell us about it.
Exciting thing at the press conference. We'll get to that in a second. It was, Al the Palace says, Chantel, don't want to be around those peons because it's going to be free. No, it's just like a level of organization, but also, yeah, Chantel, you know, kind of a public figure. You know what I mean? Like, you got to.
No, I'm not a public figure, but it's like, I don't like, you know, people all up in my space. You know what I mean? Like, and if I go somewhere, I want a good seat. Like, I'm too old for like nosebleeds and cheap liquor and like, you know, I can't do it. Like, I'm too old for that now. So it's like, I'm just thinking if it's free, it's like, it's probably like general admission, like standing up the whole time. Like, no, I would want a nice seat with a good view so I can see the fight. That's all.
It's going to be a great day for food truck vendors, people who own hot dog carts. Shout out to small business owners. If I do go, like, that's where I'll be eating from. Yeah. I'll get a kebab. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll do.
Well, I think
like
that I think they might make it dope like that, like with a bunch of food spots, and like, it's probably going to be a dope event. It's probably going to be really, really dope. It's just figuring out the logistics of it.
I hope it's a safe event. What I'll say this is, so here's what happened. Steven says I'm too washed to stand for 3+ hours. Bro.
Me too. I can't do it. Facts. I can't do it.
I just want the truth. We'll get to a little bit of that because we did recap this card already. But like, I think this is something we could circle back to. Gary Antoine Russell has a lot of interesting options on the table, including Andy Hiroka. The press conference itself was not as interesting as I thought it would be, save for the very interesting piece of Teofimo Lopez versus Arnold Barbosa. Before even that, though, as people were walking up, Teofimo Lopez, like, so the way this sort of works for people, they did this at the Palladium in Times Square. The Palladium is just some little club theater type of thing, right? There's been performances there, whatever. It's a small spot, but it's a nice spot. Very nice spot, actually. So they have the media wait outside. They say media check-in begins at 2. And of course, they don't let anybody in until like 2:30 or whatever the case may be. So people just stand outside for like 30 plus minutes. There are people, because it's New York City, walking by and then like asking some of us online, what is this for? Who is this for? You know, and then we'll be like, oh, this is for a fight. What fight is it? UFC? No, it's boxing. It's Ryan Garcia is fighting. Teofimo Lopez is fighting. And then they'd be like, oh, I don't know them. Okay, fine. You know, like, that's normally how it goes. There were some young kids who were like outside, and some of them even got online at one point to try to sneak in, but obviously that wasn't happening, which is weird. The press conference itself, so it started late, but we did see fireworks from Teofimo Lopez and Arnold Barbosa, and we got a really good stare down from those two as well, which I will play because I posted it on our channel. Arnold Barbosa Jr. was not playing with Teofimo Lopez. Like, Arnold Barbosa Jr., of everyone, he is the most ready to fight on this card. Let me see if I can get this right now. So here we go. Here's a stare down. We posted this. This is from our own YouTube, so we're pirating ourselves right now. And Arnold Barbosa, look at that. He right to Teofimo Lopez. And this went on for a while.
He's ready.
Yeah.
And I like the Southern Cali fit that he's gone on too. Like, I did, Barbosa actually wasn't playing around, yo. I saw that. I was like, yo, he's ready. Like, the fit was hella Cali and he was not playing around. I love this.
Look at the eye contact. Like, just look at this shit. Like,
well, you know, there was some back and forth between the fathers, right?
Uh-huh.
In the past, like, this Taylor was Fimo getting Senior pretty was serious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, Arnold Barbosa has wanted this fight for a while. He's talked about that too. Like, yeah. they've been calling each other out. One of the questions at the press conference was like, you know, what Arnold Barbosa has been calling for this. I zoomed in there because, like, look at them still going at it. And basically is like, yo, this has been going on for a while. How come it hasn't happened until now? Teofimo Lopez was being dismissive and being like, yo, this isn't a big fight, in my opinion, but Turkey wants it, so we'll do it.
You know what's wild? You know what's wild is how serious is Teo going to take this fight? Because as Arnold said in the press conference, like, he comes from absolutely nothing. Like, nothing was given to him. He had to fight his way. Look at his last two wins, beats Jose Ramirez, beats, you know, Jack Catterall. Like, that's massive, right? That's massive. Like, Arnold is focused. And I think you could even argue, looking at his resume, like, he's got names on his resume. You know, I think people are sleeping on him a little bit. I think this is going to be one of the most entertaining fights on the card. And, you know, if you watch the mandatory, Arnold Barbosa Jr. was one of our first guests on the show. We're going to try to get him back for sure. And he's just a nice, humble guy. And, like, you heard it there on the press conference, like, when he was talking about his dad, which I think was, like, a couple of shots at Teo's dad. But he was just saying how, like, you know, his dad's, like, a stand-up dude and, like, takes care of his family. He's all about business. And, like, I just – you got to love the Barbosa family, man. It's going to be hard for me to root against them. And with that being said, I won't be.
It's going to be a better fight than people think. Mentioned Arnold Barbosa Jr. having names. It's important. Like, if we go resume for resume here, Arnold Barbosa does not have a Vasily Lomachenko.
No, he doesn't.
He also doesn't have a George Kambosos loss, right? The Sean McComb thing was a little suspect, but. Jack Catterall.
I mean, it's hard to put him. Here's the thing. This is why I think that's unfair, because okay. I've always said there's two names that I've said that have great resumes: Anthony Joshua and Teofimo Lopez. Teofimo Lopez has one of the best boxing resumes, and everyone's gonna go look at that George Kambosos loss. But you actually look at the guys he has on his resume; he's got a very, very good resume. Where I think people got to put respect on Teo's name. Like, if you actually go through the names on Teofimo Lopez's resume, he can talk that talk. He definitely can.
I think there'd be some people who disagree with this because of
The George Kambosos. But that's stupid, man. Like, what are we doing here?
Wait. But also,
hold on. Let me just read this out right here. Okay.
There's a faction of people who think that he lost Ender Martin also.
So. Yes, of course. And at the end of that fight, he was like, "Do I still got it?" I was one of the people that was like, "Yo, he might not have won." But here's the thing: there's always gonna be that fight on a boxer's record where we're like, "Yo, that's questionable." You know what I mean? Listen, yeah, exactly. That's going to be the one for Tank, right? But take a look at this, like, resume, though. Like, he beats Nakatani, Richard Comey, and that was the crazy knockout.
Mm-hmm. Right? Comey was good. Comey was a champion.
At the time, yeah.
Nakatani was Lomachenko. Undefeated. That's fair.
He was not supposed to beat Lomachenko. Like, he beat Lomachenko, and I think he did it convincingly. Then he's like, yo, George Kambosos ain't nothing. Like, I'm not going to take him too seriously. We know what happened there. Sandor Martin, one of the trickiest fighters in boxing. Everyone has a problem with him. Josh Taylor was undisputed.
Lomachenko was minus 450 for that fight against Teofimo Lopez. Crazy. He was a big favorite.
Yeah, Josh Taylor, who I know people are going to be like, yo, he like wasn't the same Josh Taylor. That's still a name. Jermaine Ortiz, people are going to be like, yo, you know what I mean? Like, that was a boring fight, but Jermaine Ortiz is a good fighter.
Don't say the other name.
No, I won't. Don't disrespect the Canadian Steve Plaggett, okay? Not today. Not today, Steve Plaggett's tough. Not with everything that's going on with America and Canada right now, okay? Don't you dare. Disrespect Steve Plaggett on this platform.
Shit, I'm clearly Team Canada, honestly. the way we're handling shit.
I went on a little bit of rant there, but. I say that to say is that Teofimo Lopez has one of the best resumes in boxing. I will stand by that. And I've never been a boxing fan that's like, oh, he's got one loss. We all know Mayweather had the O and everyone wants the O. But my favorite boxers have a loss except for Andre Ward.
Arnold Barbosa's resume. Al the Pal mentions Mike Alvarado. So we'll start there, actually, because that was probably, I don't know if that's the win that sort of put him on the map, but maybe. I'd like to ask him this question if we do get him back on, and we'll work on it. if he thinks that's the win, because he did mention this actually when we spoke to him. He felt like that was an important win for him, and he knocked him out in the third round, which was surprising. And it was at Staples Center.
Yeah, the one that the Alvarado one was really big, but the one that
I'm gonna do what you did. I'm gonna just keep going.
I just want to say before you say it, one that was impressive to me that I remember was the one that I believe
was it before.
Yeah, Alex Salcedo, because as you that know, there after, was so yeah. there was so much hype on Alex Salcedo, and Arnold Barbosa was not supposed to win that fight against him, and Alex Salcedo, I don't think he boxed again after that, right?
Did he really not?
Let's see. That was his last fight. Like Arnold, you know, it's really sad and unfortunate, but he couldn't box after that.
It's interesting that Barbosa was about 50-50. And then for whatever reason, Salcedo may have been the A-side for that. I don't remember.
He was the A-side. Yo, Barbosa, the way Top Rank was pushing him, was crazy. Like Salcedo was supposed to be that dude. Barbosa was fed in there so Salcedo could be. Like, I still remember all the promos for that fight and everything. That, like, he was not supposed to win that fight at all. And that's why when Arnold won, it was, like, a big surprise. And Salcedo, it's really unfortunate, but he never boxed again.
Barbosa was a slight favorite, which is a little surprising. Apparently, he was an underdog against Mike Reed a bunch of years ago. Danielito Zorrilla, that was about 50-50-ish, and then he closed at 2-1. So he was favored for that. Jose Pedraza was a legit
great fight. That's
one of his most impressive performances, and I know Pedraza is, like, all due respect, kind of washed now. This was before he, like, completely, you know, got to that point. Like, he was still seen as, like, a fringe contender, at least at that point of his career. The Sean McComb one is the one that was very suspect that he probably got away with one there. But he goes out and he beats Jose Ramirez as an underdog and Jack Catterall as an underdog. And now he's an underdog again against Teofimo Lopez. Like, he beat Jose Ramirez. Jose Ramirez was the A-side and the favorite. Jack Catterall, he beats him in the UK. And those were two fights where I was like, listen, if Arnold Barbosa wins, I don't know if it's going to be unanimous. It might be close. Like, it might be one of those things where, like, he needs to overcompensate. He beat Jose Ramirez unanimously. That was easy. And Jack Catterall, he got a split, which plus 1,100 or something like that. What a hit. But he's gotten some impressive wins. And I feel like the resume conversation is interesting considering that he has that one blemish against Sean McComb, but got through it. And he's clearly gotten better since. Teofimo Lopez is very inconsistent, as we got a comment about, just super inconsistent, which Steven notes here. So.
Yeah, and that's the only thing. It's like, what Teofimo Lopez are we going to get? Because right now he's joking around and having a good time trying to sell the fight, but hopefully he doesn't do that in the ring against Barbosa. Like, hopefully he knows how serious this fight is. And, you know, I think Teo will, because I do believe that Teo does believe that he's the best when he says it. But, you know, this is a fight that I don't think he can sleep on, because Barbosa looked ready from what you saw. And you said it was, like, one of the best parts of the presser.
It was the only Devin Haney said nothing. Jose Ramirez, he's, you know, quieter dude. He's not going to talk a ton of shit. Ryan Garcia was very mild. I think people were expecting him to be explosive, but he's trying to turn over a new leaf again and is trying to be not what he was, like, I guess, leading up to the Tank fight and what he was immediately after, and leading up to the Haney fight and what he was immediately after. So, and Rolly Romero was very just calm. It's kind of like the way when we interviewed Rolly last year and we had him up here, kind of like that. Like, he had a couple jokes here and there, whatever the case may be, but he wasn't outlandish trying to do too much. Like, Teofimo Lopez was clearly trying to steal the show, and Arnold Barbosa wasn't having any of that shit.
I also like how Teo was like, he was like, this is boring. None of y'all are talking shit. Like, he was really trying to sell it. So, and, you know, and the thing that about that is that I give Teo props for is that, like, he's a showman, right? And that comes with boxing. But, you know, what's really interesting is the most popular guy on the card is Ryan Garcia.
Yeah, I don't even know how close it is, to be honest with you. It's probably him, like, with a bullet. And then I would say, is Teofimo second or is it Devin Haney?
I feel like Devin and Ryan's names will always be attached to each other, like, forever.
In terms of casuals and maybe even non-boxing fans, I feel like the person who most non-boxing fans have heard of on this card is absolutely Ryan Garcia. Second is Devin Haney or Teofimo Lopez, and I don't know which one it is.
You know, I hate to say it, but a lot of people know Rolly too. a lot of people know Rolly. Like, he's pretty popular, yo.
Not unfair.
I hate to say it. I think it might be a tie between Devin and Teo.
Oh, I forgot. Ryan Garcia actually did go back and forth with Teofimo Lopez. Should we play some of this? I actually do have it. Actually do have this right here. We have the back and forth with, or some of the back and forth with.
Rolly did make me crack up during the interview. Like, I couldn't keep a straight face. He was a really fun interview. Probably one of our best guests for sure.
He's a funny dude. Let's see. We'll play some of it. Let me know if you can hear.
On the push when they said, how come you didn't accept this fight back then?
Does audio come through? Do you hear it?
Yes, I sure do.
Okay. If you hear it, then they hear it. Hopefully. Let me know if you don't.
Like, to be real, I think it's time. Hey, you know what? Hey, you know what? Shout out to Top Rank, bro, for cutting the umbilical cord off and letting your ass crawl finally.
But I never thought you actually
had. Like, hey, bro, you want a wolf and talking like you're big and bad, bro, fighting an injured Loma, an injured Jalen, bro,
I'm taking that. I'm taking that.
Let's believe it.
Arnold Barboza.
I'm the only world champion sitting here right now. Only
bro,
one.
You ain't a world champion, bro. You're fucked.
Hold on. He says he's the only world champion sitting here right now, Teofimo Lopez does, because Arnold Barboza has an interim title, and he's trying to basically disrespect him. And Devin Haney technically is a champion in recess, so he's not really the only world champion. But you know.
Teo once called him an email champion. So Teo's been known to disrespect a couple of boxers like this.
Yeah, we'll play a little bit more of this real quick. Tyrone chimes in. We'll put the super chat up. Thank you for your donation as always. And if you do donate, we stop what we're doing and we put the donation and the comment up. This was an entertaining press conference, especially to have all three headliner fights in the same weight class or similar weight classes. Guys are like kind of moving around, but yeah, I think that's a cool element of this too. Let's play the rest of this clip.
You ain't a world champion, bro. You're a fucking
damn
bum.
Right. Yeah, you know what?
Cardo Barbosa said, "You ain't a world champion. You're a fucking bum."
I'm a universe champion, baby.
I travel. I earn my shit. Hostile territory, bro. You get your shit. Give you to the plate.
I haven't seen
my shit. Where they at? Ain't no one doing what
anybody,
I'm doing, bro.
Everybody knows how I come.
I'm fighting three of the top five guys in the past in a 7 month span. Call me that old school fighter, bro. I'm fighting in a 7 month span top three guys in the division.
Arnold Barboza has actually fought two of the top, whatever he said, guys. He said 7 month span. He's including Teofimo Lopez, I guess. He's actually done it over the last 3-4 months.
Crazy. It's crazy. Like, so that's good activity wise, fighting tough opponents. And it's been a little minute for a guy like Teofimo Lopez. His last time was Steve Claggett, right?
Steve Claggett, yeah.
No disrespect to Steve Claggett on the platform today, though. Okay?
We'll play a few more seconds of this.
Let me ask you a question. Hold on.
Arnold, let's
talk about that.
Okay, that's pretty much it. Do we want to hear the Ryan Garcia, or do we want to react to this first?
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Talk about this real quick. Are you concerned, actually, I have a question for you. Are you concerned that Arnold Barboza is taking his third fight in less than 6 months? Do you think this is going to be a stamina issue at all? Like, will he be tired, fatigued in this fight? And why or why not?
I think Arnold Barboza has some of the best conditioning in boxing. And you see it, like, the guy works out all year long. I remember there was a time period when he didn't know what was going on with Top Rank and all of that. And all I saw on his social media was him in the gym just working out, like, staying ready for a fight, staying ready for a fight. Like, he really wants it. And so, no, I think it's good for Barbosa, like, coming off of, you know, fighting Jose Ramirez, like, one of his good friends. We know how good Jose Ramirez was at one point in his career. This guy's a former champ. And then taking care of Jack Catterall in Catterall's backyard. Like, Catterall is like a god there, you know? And Barbosa got it done. Like, it's so impressive. He's had one of the best years in boxing, and he deserves this shot against Teofimo Lopez. And if I'm Teofimo Lopez, like, I'm not trying to take him lightly. He's hungry, dude. He really is.
Chat, obviously, let us know what you think of all this.
What do you think? Do you think it's too much boxing? You know what I mean? Like, what do you think?
I hope it's not. I love the activity. I want guys to fight. Like, Arnold Barbosa fought 3 times last year. He's already about to fight his 2nd time this year. I would assume if he wins or loses his fight, regardless, I feel like we might not see him again until late in the year, which is fine. Like, I would love it if more of the top guys at championship level fight 3 times in a year if they're able, right? It's just, the activity's fun. Like, I think for example, this is a very different type of fighter at a different stage of his career, but the reason why Abdullah Mason is well liked, and I think Richard Torres to a degree, is because you just see them every couple months. Like, it feels like they're fighting every couple months, you know, on ESPN or whatever the case may be. Keyshawn Davis has been active also recently. They're all younger, so it's a little bit different, but it's nice to see that activity. You know what I mean? Al the Pal leaves a comment here. Yes, he's hungry. It's his time to shine finally. Teo is not that hungry no more. He already in the spotlight. It's funny. Teofimo Lopez actually said this, Chantel, like at the press conference, if you remember. He said, like, Arnold Barbosa is like 32. Like, he was kind of like pointing out his age. Like, you know, you're 32. You just got here. Like, by the time, like, when I was 25, I was already this. Now I'm only 27, 28 years old. I'm doing this. Like, you know, pound for pound, undisputed, all these different things, unified champ, beat Loma, all these different things. And typically you would favor the younger fighter in this situation. The odds certainly do. Although you would think Teofimo Lopez would be more of a favorite than he is, but he's been super inconsistent. So yeah. I think Arnold Barbosa is getting, he could get more respect, but he's getting a little bit more respect than I would have thought, which is good, because part of me is like, yo, Arnold Barbosa could really win this fight. Like, no joke. Like,
I'm betting on him.
If Teofimo Lopez isn't focused, he might not have any shot. And even if he is, this is a tough
yo, fight. Can I be honest? Okay, so when I'm taking a look stylistically, right? Like, you talk about how technical Barbosa is, and we saw what he did against Jack Catterall, who's like such a tricky fighter. And then we saw what he did against Jose Ramirez, who is known to be like, you know, a come forward fighter, like that Mexican style, like pure Mexican style, right? Where I think this is a really tricky fight for Teo, because he has to keep up his work rate. And at the same time, I think the only way that he's going to win is by stoppage or by knockout. Like, I think Barbosa is going to be up on the cards in this fight. Technically, like, I think Barbosa is going to have to do what he has to do. So I think it's going to be really close. I think it's going to be like a 115, 113 type of decision. I think it has to be by stoppage or knockout, because I think Barbosa is going to be winning on the cards. Like, what do you think about that?
If the Teo who shows up against Josh Taylor shows up for this fight, then that's tough. The problem is, what we still have to sort of sort through is, like, all right, was Josh Taylor done at that point or close to it? Because he was also he was inactive for a long time before that fight.
It was injuries too, man.
Like, Taylor looked great. Like, Taylor looked great. It looked like that was the first time he really put it all together after the Lomachenko performance. But Josh Taylor was very inactive. So I do wonder, are we bordering on giving him too much credit for that also? Like, we'll have to see, because since then, we were just having the resume conversation. It's been Jermaine Ortiz and Steve Claggett. Jermaine Ortiz, we know, was a dud for both guys. And honestly, Teofimo deserved to win, because he at least threw punches in that fight, even though he struggles with guys who can move around and counterpunch, a la Arnold Barbosa. This is exactly what he's going to do, except he's actually going to throw punches, right? And lately, he's been sitting on them more, which has been fun to watch. And Steve Claggett, people expected a knockout. He didn't knock him out. He won basically every round. But I think people wanted more from that Teofimo Lopez performance. He didn't knock out a guy who has only been knocked out once in his career, but still overmatched clearly, but closer to the finish. So Teofimo Lopez just leaves you wanting more constantly. So I don't know what's going to happen. But to me, on this card, it's the most interesting fight, because I have an idea of what's going to happen in the Ryan Rowley fight. It's just going to be fun to watch. And then Jose Ramirez and Devin Haney, with respect to Jose Ramirez, I don't know what version of Devin Haney is going to show up either, but I think most people are expecting Devin Haney to just take that if he's right.
Nah. Okay, yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm tripping. Like, maybe I'm – man, you know what? I feel like Ramirez didn't look good against Barbosa. It's hard to say. Like, you know, I'm such a big Jose Ramirez fan, but I also think he could pose some issues for Devin, Brian. Like, I think – I really, really think that – we'll put it up. You go to your thing right away, okay? Al the Pal, thank you. I can't let my boo Chantel go without Starbucks. Thank you, Al the Pal, good friend of the show. I do appreciate that. I do love Starbucks? My Ashbucks. I do. I've told you this.
Yeah.
I'm more of like a green tea. Well, I'm more like a green tea type of gal, but I don't get anything that's like super sugary or like anything good. If I'm on the road for work, which I am a lot, then in the morning, because I don't pack my pre-workout, I just get like a small black coffee, and I use that as — I'm so boring. I hate to tell you guys, like, I'm not very cool at all. But thank you very much, Al the Pal. I do appreciate it. And thank you for joining us on the live tonight.
Starbucks. Okay, so I'll use Starbucks. Like, I'll get a sandwich from there or something, like one of the breakfast sandwiches.
Their food is so bad for you.
Yeah, it's not, like, occasionally.
Don't eat there. Okay.
Like, once every couple months. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just
sorry to do that to you. Like I was saying, okay, I think Jose Ramirez could pose some problems for Devin Haney. You know, Devin's really good, though, defensively as well. I think Devin might shine in this fight, but I also think Jose Ramirez, like, what if he has some success against Devin? What if Devin comes into the ring a little bit scared?
Or bigger.
Is this a thing? Oh, I think he's going to look huge, dude.
You see it in his face now.
Yeah.
Like he's, yeah.
His body, the way it's built, like, yeah, he's going to look big, but like,
this is supposed to be a welterweight fight. Supposed to be. So we'll see.
Ooh, okay.
Supposed to be.
Wait, do you think Jose Ramirez has a chance in this fight?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Of course. Okay, great. Because he does have power.
I think of the B-sides, he probably — no, Rowley might have the worst chance. I don't know. I don't know. Ryan is also a wild card. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Tyrone.
Well, yeah, in that fight, like,
Look at Tyrone's order. Do you approve of Tyrone's order at a Starbucks?
It's very good, Tyrone. We're going to put this up because you also donated to the show.
Do y'all like Dunkin' Donuts more than Starbucks or Starbucks more than —
we don't have Dunkin' Donuts here on the West Coast. That's an East Coast thing.
Seriously?
We don't have it here on the West Coast. On the West Coast, we don't got Dunkin' Donuts.
Have you ever had Dunkin' Donuts? Not that it's like something you need to have.
I did try it. I thought it was trash. their donuts, I thought it was bad.
Their donuts were amazing like 15 years ago. Now they're just okay. The glazed one's pretty slap though.
That's the only donut that I like. It's like just a classic glaze, you know?
Jose Ramirez since Josh — I love just weaving in and out of like seriousness. Yeah. Jose Ramirez since the Josh Taylor fight, which you maintained you don't think he looked like himself. And
no, not at all. Like what Jose Ramirez — and that was after a long layoff for Jose Ramirez, remember?
I think that's aged well. He was — it a long layoff? 7 months. No. 9 months, Victor Postol. Oh God, remember that? That's a name. that was also, by the way, that was a majority decision, and that was a fight that I didn't think he looked awesome either. So you have that performance. Like Maurice Hooker was probably the last time that Jose Ramirez has been like, oh shit.
A good comment from Nerd. This is a good comment from Nerd. Stick nah, Ramirez is done. You know what? Let me go through this.
So Victor Postol, Josh Taylor, Jose Pedraza. I thought Pedraza was very competitive in that fight. All judges had it 116-112, probably fair. I thought I had it 115-113. Richard Colmey. I think Regis Progre came on our show and said he looked like shit in that fight. Rancis Barthelemy, he struggled in that one a little bit more than the cards would indicate. He got very favorable cards there. And then Arnold Barbosa, he lost. So, like, Devin Haney should win this. I just wonder, all right, Jose Ramirez isn't the biggest puncher in the world, but if he lands on Devin Haney, what happens? Like, now I need to see if Devin Haney's chin is fucked up from the Ryan Garcia fight. And before that, Jorge Linares caught him a couple times, memorably once at the end of, was it round 10 or whatever it was?
But that was it really early in Haney's career, though, when he fought Linares. I think Haney was fighting on, like, his own at the time, like, really early on.
That was 5 years ago?
He's gotten better than that. And I think when he fought, like, it was Cambosos, but, like, those performances down in Australia were beautiful that Devin Haney put on. Oh, my God. Before we get into that, Al the Pal says, F donuts, tacos in the morning. I like tacos and burritos in the morning, of course.
I like burritos in the morning. I don't eat tacos in the morning, really. Breakfast burritos slap, though. Breakfast tacos are
pretty good, though, too. Tyrone the Great, I'm on the East Coast. Krispy Kreme over Dunkin'. Yes, yes, I love Krispy Kreme.
Yes.
Like, every time I drive by a Krispy Kreme, I think about it. I'm like, should I pull over? Yes.
Their Oreo donut is fucking amazing. And their regular glazed joints are good.
So good.
Krispy Kreme. I don't eat Krispy Kreme all. Like, it's probably, like, maybe once a year. But, yeah, like, you know, let's play Ryan Garcia and Teo Villalobos talking shit. I meant to get to this earlier, but we had some fun. And continue to drop comments on really anything in particular. But Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia, Teo Villalobos, back and forth from Fatal Fury. These two are not fighting each other, but I think people will be interested in this fight if it does happen at some point.
Run that. We're going to run that.
I forgot that's where it started. So, all right, we're off to a great start. Hold on.
Yeah, I like it. I hope, but, like, bring it in. 100%. Bring it in. Y'all not even put the tip in yet. Bro, like, come on. Pause, by the way. Pause. But all right, getting fired up, man. Okay.
Ryan Garcia was getting heated, bro.
I'm gonna end this.
Teofimo Lopez was pissed off because nobody was, like, hyping it up. You know what I mean? Like, he wanted the press conference to be more explosive. He was getting annoyed that people seemed boring at the presser.
In the session, with the question to you, and I spoke to you a little bit at the hotel a few hours ago. And we talked about you going into that first fight.
Teofimo Lopez talking in the background, and
you admitted you were not at 100%. There was drinking, there was smoking. You could have been in better shape. And you told me you got that out of the way. You're not drinking and you're not smoking. But you have a renewed dedication to boxing and a renewed vigor for boxing. Because Brian talked about this in the scrum after, which we uploaded. I feel like you got Devin Haney in your sights, and it looks like you've got Teofimo Lopez in your sights.
Well, yeah, I mean, I want to be great. You know, I've always wanted to fight the best fighters in the sport. As far as, you know, my problems outside, that you could come back from anything. And I want to show my dedication to sport and be a true.
He looks like he's about to say some bullshit.
And I don't want anybody to, you know, take my actions of drinking and smoking before the fight and try to, you know, think that's a way to handle yourself as a professional. So I came here to change that. And this is my first fight to get respect back and then prove everybody that it wasn't a fluke. And I'm ready to do it.
You inspire us all, right? I like it. You can always come back. Like, redemption can be found in the world.
Teofimo Lopez is such a dick. He's like, you inspire us all. And they're going back and forth.
It's good content.
Yeah.
It's entertaining. I love how entertaining it is. But also, after, you can find this on our channel in the Ryan Garcia scrum, where he's talking to a bunch of reporters and whatnot and content creators. He mentioned that he does have a lot of respect for Teofimo Lopez. He just felt like Teo was trying to knock everyone's accomplishments and he wasn't with that, but that he would be interested in fighting Teofimo Lopez one day. So maybe that's a fight that we do get. I think that's a fight that does numbers, but I think Ryan Garcia has to have a very good performance in this first fight back. And let's not sleep on Rolly. Like, you know, he does still have power. That's the last thing to go. He has been knocked out since. But listen, I think it'll be entertaining. And Rolly still has power. He's going to make this one interesting.
This is supposed to be at welterweight also. So we got a bunch of guys moving up. Rolly said he outgrew 140. That was one of the quotes that I posted also. Said that he long outgrew it. He felt like he's hung around at 135 for too long and then hung around at 140 for too long. So 147. He told us he wants to fight Canelo. Like, he'll go up to 168. He's nuts. Ryan Garcia, honestly, I think would do the same thing if he wanted to. Steven asked if he's training with Eddie Reynoso leading up to this fight. I know he had been training with Eddie Reynoso. I don't know if he's training with him specifically leading up to this fight, though. He may be. I'd be curious to, I mean, no disrespect, but I don't know if he needs Eddie Reynoso to win this fight. Rolly hasn't looked very impressive in a while. He fought Tank in 2022. He looked pretty impressive before he got knocked out, but also, like, Tank kind of does that. Ismael Barroso, the most beneficial win of 2023. Like, he should not have won that fight. It should not have been stopped when it was. Maybe he would have gone on to win that fight, but at the time, he was down on all three scorecards and got a bullshit, like the worst stoppage of the year in 2023. It was a robbery. I think we did a post-fight show, or we definitely talked about it because it was like very early. You know, we had different backgrounds and shit. We were a smaller show, which we're still a small show, so tell your friends. But we talked about it at the time. It was an awful robbery. And then Isak Cruz, obviously, you know, I thought he was actually arguably ahead at the time he got stopped. One judge did have that. Like, he was boxing fine, but he kept getting caught. And then his last fight against Manuel Jaimes was, you know, it was a decision against somebody who Abdullah Mason obliterated 5 months later in four rounds. And really whooped his ass earlier than that. So I don't know.
Brian, I want to go to this comment from Al the Pal. I think this is interesting. Eddie Reynoso sucks. Everyone loses with him. And I only say this because when you think about trainers and you know, the guys that Eddie Reynoso has trained, there has been a little bit of a losing streak, but still a very, like, he's very well respected in boxing and whatnot. But, you know, who is it true that Teo's training with him? Is that what we're hearing?
There were those videos going around of him training with Canelo Alvarez and Eddie Reynoso at some point. They haven't been that recent, so we'll see. Ryan also talked about training with Derek James and what that taught him. Like, there's some decent stuff on the scrums.
And is he training with Reynoso now as well? Because I think that was because he's not training with Derek James anymore. Is that correct, Ryan Garcia?
Still with Derek?
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. I wonder who his trainer will be. Is there any? I'm just curious on that.
I don't. Not that I don't care, but like,
this is crazy because I really care about this. Like,
it matters to a point. Like, ultimately, these guys. The unique thing about this card is like all these guys are. They're kind of all at a career crossroads. Mm-hmm. To some extent, we've talked about Teofimo Lopez a ton. And Teofimo Lopez, he needs to look impressive and hold on to his title, because otherwise, like, what happens? Like, we were talking about Tank's comments about dudes who fight in Saudi or dudes who align themselves with the Saudis. They do that because they're not a draw. And Teofimo Lopez is one of these dudes, like, he could only sell theaters, it appears, even though he has like star quality that you would think he could be able to sell out Madison Square Garden. He can't. He hasn't. You know what I mean? Like, I think Sandor Martin may have been at the Garden. I don't think that was sold out. And it was also like weird time.
Was that one at the theater or the Garden?
No, I think that one was at the Garden.
Got you.
I'm going to check right now just to be sure. But like, if you just look at Teofimo Lopez, like in his arc, like he needs like a really, really good performance here. Yeah. Sandor Martin was at the Garden. It was in 2022. I want to say Jared Anderson was also on that card. Let me look up the attendance.
It feels so long ago, that fight, but I remember it like it was yesterday and not being as impressed. I think this is a great question by Nerd. And it goes out to Al the Pal or even you, Brian. Al the Pal, who is a good trainer? Brian, who's your favorite trainer in boxing right now? Mine's got to be BOMAC.
I was literally going to say it's hard not to say BOMAC.
Yeah, it's really ridiculous. Hard.
You know, there's some good trainers that I follow on Instagram, but they don't train like any of these high profile fighters that we're talking about. But they're like, it's hard not to say Bo Mac. You know what I mean? He that dude just gets results.
I don't know what it is.
Terrence Crawford and Keyshawn Davis. You know what I mean? And he's one of these dudes. Like he wasn't an awesome pro boxer at all. Like if you look up his record sucked. But
sometimes that's what makes them the best trainers. Like, correct. You know what I mean?
Correct. Same thing in basketball. Yeah. Same thing in basketball. Coaches. Like a lot of the elite coaches were mediocre players in terms of not mediocre compared to everyone in the world, but mediocre in terms of as a professional, like, or even in college, like Eric Spoelstra wasn't this awesome college player, wasn't this awesome professional player, Greg Popovich either. You know what I mean? Like a lot of the awesome trainers, you know, like Freddie Roach had probably one of the more decorated pro careers out of all those guys, but he's probably infinitely better as a trainer than he was as a pro fighter, even though he was a reasonably good pro fighter, not like super awesome. You know what I mean? Like, but you know, he had a good record for the times. Like he kind of was one of these dudes who fought everybody. I want to say he was 40-13 or something like that, but still. Yeah. Roach used to box. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. Any final thoughts, Brian? Is there anything else we should get to before we get up and out of here? We said this was going to be really quick and we almost stayed here for an hour, but that's because we like hanging out with you guys.
Every time. Yeah. No, the chat is good. I mean, if y'all got some comments to fire off for a minute or two, we can take them before we get up out of here. How the pal, all them trainers have L's. Yeah. I mean, like.
I think you will have L's though as a trainer. I think. I thought.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I just hate the whole narrative behind the L. Like, I think if you take an L, it only makes you better, right? It's the same in sports, dude. Like, some of your favorite athletes have L's. Like, Jordan had to lose a couple of times before he won his first championship. Like, it just is what it is.
I thought Nassim Richardson was great. Also, was another one I just thought of. Like Freddie Roach, when he took over with Cotto, I thought that was a successful run, even though obviously Cotto ended up losing at the end, but it was like an older version of Cotto, but I thought he helped stretch his career out. I thought Nassim Richardson was great, RIP also. But I mean, doing what he did with Bernard Hopkins and pissing off childhood me by beating the shit out of Felix Trinidad. But like, you know, that's good. I think the dangerous ones though, like this happens a lot with my Latinos. It happens a lot with us where like our dads just train us. And I feel like that generally has a ceiling. And then at some point you got to grow from that dad or some sort of family member. You know what I mean? Doesn't always go that well. IMPK13. We actually just circle back to a question we got earlier about Gary Antoine Russell. What do you make of Dillian White hurting his hand and dropping out of the Joel Joyce fight? Yeah, they're supposed to get Joel Joyce. So reportedly Joel Joyce is going to have another opponent. They're trying to preserve that date for now in April. I don't get the sense, Chantel, that you're too interested in Joe Joyce fights right now.
Don't care today. You know what I mean? Like I'll end up watching it, you guys. I always do that. There's always some fights I have higher on the totem pole. Sometimes I like the really nerdy fights a little bit more, but two great names. I just don't really know how many times I care to see Dillian White fight. You know what I mean?
The rumor is that Filip Hrgović could be in line to replace. This is coming from The Sun out in the UK. Joel Joyce to face Filip Hrgović in mouth-watering heavyweight fight after shock Dillian White withdrawal that was posted earlier today. Rematch of a amateur fight. And that was determined by a split decision. I think Joel Joyce won that one. This was 12 years ago. So
I think I'd be interested in that, actually. Like, I'm such a nerd. Like, I'm like, Filip Hrgović?
You'd be more interested in Hrgović and Dillian White? I don't even think that's crazy.
I think I would. I would, just because I'd want to see stylistically how that would work.
Yeah, but it looks like it's going to be Hrgović.
I'm actually interested in that. I will watch that.
It's not a gimme for Joel Joyce, I'll tell you that.
No, that's a tough fight. That's definitely a tough fight. Al the Pal, if Canelo ain't fighting the best or beating the best, why would I want him as a trainer? He can't teach me nothing but give me clout. There is a lot of clout in terms of like if you join a specific team or a trainer, like it does add to some cachet, you know, like people are like, oh my God, look at what's his face, like fighting with Derek James now. Like he's going to be crazy good. Like, you know what I mean? Like yeah. We think about these things like that, that does happen. I think it was, man, I don't think it was it Spence that left Derek James after his? No. I forget who lost and then went to Derek James. I forget who it was, but it was a pretty big name.
Anthony Joshua was with him.
Yes. Okay. Yes. It was AJ. Yeah. It was, and he did look different with Derek James as his trainer. But I think that was the name.
That was also short lived. And then he fought Daniel Dubois after.
Yeah. Hey, this is a good one. This is a good one, Steven. We're going to end off with this one. All right. Would you guys kiss the Saudi ring and call him His Excellency for the bag? I'll let you go, Brian. I'll let you go with this one.
I mean, you wouldn't. And I listen, no. I would like to talk to the dude. You know what I mean? Like have a legitimate conversation with the dude. Like, all right, what is it that you're trying to actually do here? But this is not a conversation that could be on record because I wouldn't get straight answers or whatever. And also he wouldn't talk to me because I have a very low profile compared to the people that he's hired or has some sort of say in working at the ring. Like, why the fuck would he talk to me? I don't have like a big following or anything like that at this point. Yeah. And then with you, it's like, you know, he hasn't even put a woman fight on. You know what I mean?
That's the thing, guys. Also, take a look at those fights in Saudi and take a look and see if there's a lot of women in the crowd because there's not.
Apparently, they didn't even sell out the last card, the greatest card ever as it was built. Right. So
yeah,
apparently they moved the Fight Hype reported this. And I think somewhere else too, that they moved the venue to a smaller venue and then they didn't even sell that one out or they didn't even fill it to capacity. So,
yeah, but I will say this one thing. I think for, you know, going back to Steven's comment, I don't think there's an amount of money that can make me okay with like the social issues that go down there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
which we've talked about.
Yeah. Like, I think that's like the biggest thing for me is like, there's so many different social issues down there that is glossed over the fact that these big fights are being put on and like, you know, I don't want to get kidnapped here, but you know, I don't want to have like anything bad happen to me, but like, I just don't think I'd even feel comfortable. Like if they were like, yo, we want you guys to host this thing. And they offered us like a crazy bag. I think about it, you know, but I don't think I'd feel safe going down there after I've talked so much shit.
I would study the hell out of that. We haven't even talked shit like that. It's just
not really, but they don't like people don't like people telling the truth and how they feel, right? No one has said, this is the one thing I'll say and I'll shut up. Nobody has actually really said how they feel about this, like in boxing media. Like nobody has really, like the people that are really famous and on a big platform have really given like, a real opinion or criticized what's going on. Like, I don't know, like, if you guys can, like, find it for me, let me know. But everyone calls him His Excellency and, you know.
Yeah, I find it weird. And I've never, like, I've been somebody who, like, I don't tend to take the highest offer, like, as it pertains to work. Like, I'm not somebody who, like, pay me the most money and I'll do it. Like, I've never been that dude. I've taken less to have a better role. I've done that at multiple jobs at this point. So, you know.
Yeah, but this could be like a, you know, like life changing money if he could offer you this, right? I don't know. I'd probably think about it,
point of it is he wouldn't do it.
No, like, even think I'd be allowed. I don't even think I'd be allowed. I wouldn't be allowed to accept the offer. The offer would be given to Brian, and they'd be like,
he wouldn't,
and you would have to accept the offer for me.
He would,
you know what I mean?
He would not offer me shit. I get it. Like he would not do it. I have 6,000 something followers on Twitter, 6,000 something subscribers on YouTube. We have about 2,500 here. I don't have a big enough platform for that shit. You know what I mean?
Will, like, though, at some point,
we'll see. I don't know. We'll see. I don't think people fuck with me like that. You know what I mean? But we'll see.
Yeah. Maybe they would make you cover up. Honestly, Al the Pal, I'm pretty conservative on TV anyways. Like I don't do anything like too risque. When I'm on TV, I'm like pretty professional. So like, you know what I mean? Like I wouldn't mind for them making me cover up. I'm not going to hit on that one, Al the Pal. I think that's like, you know, some traditional stuff.
Again, I just want to know what the overall outlook is. Like I have some very like just fair questions about, like, all right, what are the plans? Where is all this going? And I think a lot of other people are just blindly like, how much are they paying? All right, cool.
Yo, which, but here's,
you know, everybody's different. Everybody's different. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Al the Powell mentions, like, Oscar was talking shit, and Al joins him. Like, yeah, I mean, this is what rich people do. You know what I mean? Like, this is what Canelo did. Canelo did the same thing. He's like, I'm not gonna fucking work with that guy. And then he did that in order for Turk to go and pay a shit ton of money, and he did, and he got the deal he wanted, and Turk got the deal he wanted because Canelo's gonna fight over there now. Like, business is business. That's what it comes down to for them. Went too long on that conversation. To follow up back on Gary Antoine Russell, as we were asked earlier, Andy Hiroka is number one contender for that title, but Gary Antoine Russell, as we've said, he wants Alberto Pueyo. So he wants Alberto Pueyo. He wants that rematch. Andy Hiroka, unless the WBA calls for it, it's going to have to wait. That's where we're at.
Steven says, Chantel, do you really need to drive in Saudi? They'll have a 24/7 car service for you, but where is the car taking me? You know what I mean? Like,
I think they're going to have the FIBA World Cup in for men's basketball, for people who don't know, in 2022, because they wouldn't have it for the women out there, obviously, in 2027.
That's terrible.
They wouldn't.
I know. I don't mind the car service.
The Women's World Cup for basketball in 2022 was fucking awesome. And the Olympics, too, for last year. Yeah, but men's basketball, they're getting a Soccer World Cup and they're getting a FIBA World Cup. Saudi Arabia. They're trying to get everything. They're just trying to buy out everything, and they're trying to play the money game, you know.
Yeah.
So
anyways, guys, I just want to say thank you so much for joining us on this night live. We really appreciate it. We also just like talking to you guys just in general about other things other than boxing. We had a few of those conversations tonight, but thanks so much for rocking out with us. Hit that like and subscribe button if you haven't already, because that always helps us and helps the channel grow. And shout out to everyone that donated, Tyrone, Al the Pal. Thank you guys. And Brian, any, you know, final thoughts before we get up and out of here?
The next time you'll hear from us, unless something absolutely fucking wild happens, will be next week. I'll say this. Natasha Jonas, Lauren Price is this weekend. I think Friday even.
It's a good, sneaky good fight, by the way.
I'm really excited for that. We're not doing a post-fight show, but we might touch on it next week. I think people are sleeping on Natasha Jonas a little too much.
Facts. I think she's like sneakily older. That's why.
Yeah, she's like 40-something. But I'm a big Natasha Jonas believer. And I think Lauren Price is really good too, and she's the favorite because she's younger and stuff. But man, I am not sleeping on Natasha Jonas. That's going to be a good fucking fight.
Yeah, we'll be back next week, y'all. Thanks so much for hanging out with us tonight.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage. And do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.